Okay, so we're doing our unit now is the some of the halachas of tznius and the impact. And today, again, we're covering some yichud, some negiah, all of these inyanim. But today I want to talk about kisei haraish. We began talking about it last week. Remember that kisei haraish, for married women, like all of hilchos tznius, has two different applications. There is the application in Maseches Brachos that says Sar Beisha Erva, and that means that you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema or to daven or to say Brachos Keneged uncovered hair. And even though, if you read the Gemara literally, the Gemara in Brachos does not mention a married woman, it does not mention that at all. But already most of the Rishonim say B'Feirish that the only hair that has a Shem Erva for Kriya Shema is what is called hair Shedarkan Lachasais. And again, this is a very odd way of expressing it. The Halacha could have said any hair that you're Mechuyev to cover has a Din Erva. It doesn't really say hair that you're Mechuyev to cover. It says hair whose Derech it is to be covered. And you'll see that that's going to be the basis of the Archa Shulchan's Kula. And that only applies to Nesuais that have a Chiyav Kisei Harash, which means in principle, if Penuyais had a minhag to cover their hair, that would become Darko L'chaseis, meaning it's not the Chiyav that makes it the Erva, it's the Derech for it to be Mechusa that makes it the Erva. And it happens to be, when there's a Chiyav, we treat it as derech lechasaisai, right? Because since you're mechuyev, it's called derech lechasaisai. But actually, it's the derech lechasaisai. It's not the chiyev per se. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say sar that you're mechuyev to cover. It says sar that the derech is to cover has a din of an erva. The Mishnah Berurah will say that is nesuais who are mechuyev to cover their hair. Mm-hmm.
So was there a certain point that it started to become the derech?
No, it's the derech because you're chayef. Married women are chayef to cover their hair. So therefore...
That's why it's erva now.
Yes, but what makes it erva is not that they're chayef. Rather, being chayef makes it the derech to cover it up.
And then that's the next
The derech makes it an erva. Which means, theoretically, what I'm saying is, theoretically... Of course, that's the opposite of the way things work, because people get more makel. But theoretically, if single women were to decide to cover their hair, even though there's no chiyuv, that would become darka lechaseis. In other words, the erva is nikva by the derech lechaseis, but the chiyuv is the hechitimsa that makes it the derech to cover it up.
Does that work by hands also? If a woman would put on gloves?
That's correct. That's correct. Theoretically, the reason why you're allowed to be Kare Kriyashma in front of a woman's exposed hands is because hands is not the derech lechaseis. It's not intrinsic. See, certain things are intrinsically an erva. So, for example, the sheik, you know, things like that, the breasts, they are intrinsically an erva. So whether people cover it or don't cover it makes no difference. However, anything beyond the zone, so to speak, is only an erva if it's darkai lechaseisai. The chiyuv of nashim nesuais to be mechaseraish makes it darkai lechaseisai.
Who decides what's the zone?
Well, the decision was made by Chazal, but the question becomes gufa. Doraisa, it's very interesting. Doraisa, the issur of being kore keneged erva is mamish, very, very, very literal. It is keneged the erva itself. The erva is the makam of bia itself, and some say the actual breasts might also be nichlo. Anything beyond that, bare arms, bare legs, you know, shorts, a bikini, anything like that, min ha-taira does not have a din erva. But Chazal decreed that shaykh is erva, and the arms above the elbow is erva and the like. Now the question is, did they decree that intrinsically or for keret? Did it become an erva because that was dark of a chaseh? That's an interesting question. But I'll get to the nafkina. But again, it's always a mud nazach that the language of the Shulchan Aruch, and again, it's based on the Rishonim, is that hair becomes an erva not because there's a chiyuv to cover it, it becomes an erva because it's the derech to cover it, but the chiyuv is the reason why it became the derech to cover it. You'll see that this is actually the yisoid of a lot of kulos. So now that is the din. Say again.
Kosher women.
Didn't hear you.
Kosher women.
Yeah. What about?
That's
correct. That would be correct. That would be correct.
But we're saying that if you're obligated to cover it, then even if the derech is not.
No, so that we'll talk about. The derech shulchan.
I think that would apply also to the sheikh.
Huh?
I'll talk about it.
That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to talk about all of those in Yanim today. Okay. Now, here's the thing. So the Gemara in Brachos is Lagabe Amiras Devarim Shepikdusha. And again, you'll remember that only asers Dibor, it does not aser Hirhor. That's an important rule, that you're allowed to be Maharer, Keneged anything. Now, the other Sugya of covering hair is Maseches Ksuvas. Now, Maseches Ksuvas, this is in the 7th parak, Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah talks about the grounds in which a husband can, and perhaps must, that's a machlekes, divorce his wife without a ksuva. Which women forfeit their ksuva, their yaitseis shalai b'ksuva. And there's a list of different things. But two categories that are nogeya for what we're talking about tonight is an iveres al das. Das is dalit saf, a woman who transgresses religious law. But there are two types of transgressions that the Mishnah enumerates. There is a category of transgression that is called Iveres Aldas Maisha, and there is a series of transgressions that is called Iveres Aldas Yehudis. And in both of those cases, the woman is Yaitzais Shalai Biksuva. Now, a veris al das maisha, the Mishnah gives you the following example. She is maichil her husband tevel. She's machshil him in kashrus, or she's mishamsos einida. She tells him she went to the mikveh and she didn't. So, at least category number one, you have two things in common. She is a veris in iser deiraisa, but it's not just that she's a veris.
Das Moshe
means an Isser D'Oraisa. But it's not just that she's Iveres, but she's Iveres in such a way that she's Machti him, she's Machshel him. So for example, if a woman is Stamim Chalal Shabbos, a woman herself eats treif, but she keeps a 100% kosher kitchen, right? She doesn't bring the treif home. So technically, it might be an Eitzah Taiva to be Megarisher. It might be. But she's not an Iveres Al Das Maisha, and if you divorce her, she's entitled to a Ksuva. A woman does not forfeit a Ksuva because she goes off the Derech, other than Iveres Al Das Yehudis, which is a particular going off the Derech. I'll get to Nuchos Sinias. A woman forfeits a Ksuva only if her through her Averos, this is Das Moshe, she's Machshil the husband. By the way, this was a case in New York. I think we talked about this a little bit. A big lawsuit in New York that all the Rabbanim were afraid of, where a woman told her rabbi she was going through a divorce with her husband, even though they were still living together. And she told her rabbi that she wasn't going to the mikveh anymore. So the rabbi said he had a chiyuv to tell the husband. And the husband then used that against her in a custody battle, because he tied it in a custody that she's not going to raise the kids from, and New York State says that the kids have to be raised in the manner to which they were accustomed. So she turned around and she sued the rabbi for violating confidentiality, because New York State has a law that what you tell a clergyman is confidential. And since he transgressed his secular obligation of confidentiality, and caused her damage, she should get money for the suffering she went through. The rabbi's defense was, what do you mean? The Constitution of the United States guarantees freedom of religion. And if I'm mechuyev under my religion to tell the husband that she's being machshelim, how can you as secular government punish me for keeping my religion? In other words, this was a time of freedom of religion. In other words, it's, New York's law is unconstitutional. It's against the federal constitution. So you should know that all the Rabbanim were very, very afraid of this, because you know, if because the lower court in New York actually said she had a case. So there was Sidri, you know, a good got involved, and the OU got involved in all of this. Lamaisa, her case was dismissed, but lav mitame, meaning the court didn't want to say it was unconstitutional. The court just said that even if a rabbi violates confidentiality under the secular law, he's not chayev in damages. It's like lasei shidei shemayim. It was a law that didn't have a. but you see, that's a little scary in a way, because that saved this rabbi. But that would mean theoretically. So let's say New York will pass a new law that says you are chayev in damages. I mean, the court really didn't resolve the ultimate nekuda, because the court in New York interpreted the law to be narrower, and therefore it didn't have, which is what a court normally does. A court normally does not want to go all the way and say something is unconstitutional. They'll give a narrow interpretation of the law, but that leaves the question open. Okay, theoretically, okay, but be it as it may, that is category one, called Iveres Aldas Maisha. Now category two is called Iveres Aldas Yehudis. And Yehudis, I'm not sure if it's a pun intended to mean a Jewish woman, or is Das Yehudis Jewish tradition or Jewish women's traditions? Specifically, it refers to a woman who stops behaving in a tzniyastika fashion. And that refers, now the Mishnah says, she goes out with her hair uncovered. Again, we'll talk about that in a moment, because the Gemara asks on that. She goes out with exposed arms, exposed legs, meaning she violates Hilchos Tznias. So even if she's not directly machshel her husband b'aveira, if she is not following the minhagim of Bnei Yisrael, and that would even apply to extra minhagim that Bnei Yisrael took on, she is called an avera saldas, and she's yaitzei shalei b'ksuva. Now the Mishnah itself classifies reisha parua as Das Yehudis and not Das Maisha. That's the Mishnah. So Frek, the Gemara, Kasha, the Gemara asks the Kasha, why do you count an uncovered hair as only a Das Yehudis, which implies a Minog of Tznias? L'chaira, it's an Isser D'Araisa. Because we learn out of Saita that when a woman is suspected of adultery, Upara Reisha Isha, we uncover her hair, which means until that point her hair was covered. And Rabbi Yishmael darshans that this is min hatayra ashara livnei Yisrael that are nesuas, that they're not allowed to have uncovered hair. A bazai, the Gemara's kasha seems to be, it ought to be classified as das maisha rather than das yehudis. So the Gemara's teretz is, you're right. The Gemara's teretz is, if a woman's hair is totally uncovered, mamish nothing at all, that's taka das maisha. So when would it be das yehudis? If she has something that is called kalasa. Kalasa is with the kuf. Kuf lamet saf hey. Now what is kalasa? It's not so, machlekes shoshanim exactly what it is, but it seems to be a type of netting in which the hair is covered, but there are a lot of holes in the netting. So even though the hair is covered, but you can see through it a lot, so min hatchaira, even that would be a valid kisui, but al stas yehudis, that's going to be usher as well. So,
You've got holes. What's that?
Holes, netting, like a netting over the head that has a lot of holes. That's called kalasa. So that's stas yehudis. For a woman to go out with that kisui, that is stas yehudis. But if her hair is totally uncovered, that is called Das Moshe. That's an Isser D'Oraisa. An Isser D'Oraisa, or I'll get some Shaila, do you count it as a Chiev D'Oraisa? Is it a Chiev D'Oraisa to cover, or an Isser D'Oraisa to go out Megula? Okay,
who's Mechalik?
No, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, but again, it's not that. In Lumdus, in Lumdus, we don't, it's not so Nogaya, it's not so practically different if I describe it as a chiyuv asei to be mechase the reish, or an iser d'oraisa to be yaitse begili reish. But either way, it's das maisha. Now, let me stop right here though and say that there is a machloikas, the Rambam in the Tur, and some very modern Orthodox people have tried to take advantage of this a little bit. And that is a very schwer Torah. The Rambam seems to follow the Gemara B'diyuk. The Rambam says, if a woman's hair is parua lagamri, at least pashuk, we'll talk about inside the house, that's a vera saldas maisha, that's an isur d'oraisa. If she wears a net, that is called das yehudis. Right? So the Rambam follows the Gemara B'diyuk. The Tor in Eben HaEzer just says, he quotes the Mishnah Kilashina, and the Mishnah says, if an Isha is Yaitza Vereisha Parua, she is a Veres Aldas Yehudis, and she's Teitzei Shalai Biksuva. Now, it is obviously very, very schwer, the Bach, the Beis Yosef, they go on this Nakuda. Why is the Tor not Mechalek? The Gemara made a chiluk between Kalasa, which is Das Yehudis, and Megula Lagamri, which is Das Moshe. The Tor seems to say everything is Das Yehudis. But putting aside how they answer this, what difference does it make? So here is the Kenech that some modern Orthodox scholars have tried to advance. They have said that there's a very big nafkamina if Kisoy HaReish is a Das Moshe Dikadin or a Das Yehudis Dikadin. Das Moshe Dikadin makes it an absolute Chi of the Araisa, based on Rabbi Yishmael's Drasha. Das Yehudis Dikadin is only because of the minhag that Bnei Yisrael took upon themselves, and that minhag makes it a halacha of Tznius of Das Yehudis. So, the Taina is, if something is only Das Yehudis, maybe that will be Nishtana in time and place. That if you are in a community where married women stopped covering their hair, now how many? That's going to be a question. How many? So even though the initial people who are doing it are Avaryanim, but eventually, it is no longer Das Yehudis. In other words, the question becomes, if something, it's a really general question in many areas of Tznius, if something becomes Hilchos Tznius only mitam minhag, is that a minhag that could be nisbatel by people behaving later? So, as a result, there are some people, again, Rabbi Michael Breit was the most prominent example, although there's some history there I'll have to go over, Bekitzer. Michael Berg wrote a huge article.
He's modern Orthodox?
He's very modern Orthodox. But he's a quite Talmud Chacham, although he got into trouble last year. Part of it is because of the... he wrote what he called a limud zuchus. He said, Chas v'sholom, I'm not telling married women not to cover their hair, but there's a limud zuchus miyusad on the Tor that it's only mitam das Yehudis and it's not mitam das Moshe.
Is he undoing all the Das Yehudis rules now? Why is he just undoing the covering hair rules? He's undoing all Das Yehudis rules.
Well, no, because no. Well, it might be. He didn't want to go that far because it might be that certain things might be intrinsically erva, or it might be that not as many Bnei Yisrael who are you know trying to be from have abandoned those Tznius rules. But you're right; his svara would apply to a lot of things. His time basically was twofold, that the Tor calls everything Das Yehudis, not Das Moshe, which is shrei from the Gemara, of course. And Sveitin says his chiddush that once it's Das Yehudis, it could be Nishtana with the passage of time. And Tradition, which is the RCA journal, actually a very good magazine, a very good journal of different Torah articles, gave him like 80 pages, which is unheard of. I mean, I think somebody's gave money to put. Normally, Tradition is very rigid. I've written a few times, and you know, they always cut me down. So I give them 30 pages, they make it 20 pages, you know. So he gets 85 pages. You know? A little bit of, get a little angry for us, we authors who have been ruthlessly cut down all the time.
Maybe you should start writing that there for things.
Well, no, you're right. If I wrote an article like covering Harris Achim, they probably wouldn't have given me the 85 pages. Right. That's the noob shot. Kayach de Atera Adit. A noob shot for that. But okay. So now Rabbi Breud even said like this. Rabbi Breud is a Talmud Chacham. He knows a lot. That's why some people consider him to be dangerous, because he knows a lot and he's very modern at the same time. But psychologically like this. He committed he actually falsified something in his article, which he had no reason to do at all. He had mamish no reason to do it, because he had an article with Makairis and with argumentation, but then he puts in a footnote a Maisa story that turned out to be totally false. And the story goes, he quotes a fellow whose name was given as David Keter. And David Keter claims to have been a Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer back in the early 1950s. So he's an older gentleman. And he says he went to Rabbi Yisrael Zalman, and he said, this is back in the 1950s, he said he has a woman that he's dating that's a Yiras Shemayim and a very, very fine woman, and really it's tzedekes in many ways, but she refuses to cover her hair. So he wants to know, should he marry such a woman? He says she will refuse to cover her hair at all. So Rav Yisrael Zalman said, I don't want to paskin on this. Go ask Rav Shach. Rav Shach, as you know, married Rav Yisrael Zalman's niece. So Rav Shach was Rav Yisrael Zalman's nephew by marriage. Now, why did he say go ask Rav Shach? You'll see in one second. So he went to ask Rav Shach, and Rav Shach says, if she is otherwise Roy Vahogun, go ahead and marry her. Don't worry about it. She's a righteous woman. And Rav Shach said, because you know, after all, the Torah says the Torah only says it's Das Yehudis and it's not Das Maisha. And even though it's not proper to assume that Das Yehudis is Nishtana, there may be a Svara that Das Yehudis might be Nishtana. Therefore, Rav Shach says you could be Saimech. And then Rav Shach is quoted as saying, and that is why in Lithuania, which is actually historically true, in Lita, between the wars, many Kalos refused to cover their hair, even if they married B'nai Torah. And as a result, they said, just braid your hair, keep it in a bun, etc. And he says, the poskim were somech on the tour that it's Das Yehudis, and if enough women are not doing it, it would no longer be an Isser. And the recurring story is that Rav Shach's own Rebbetzin in Europe did not cover her hair, and they want to bring a raya from a passport picture.
Is this a true thing, or is this just...
No, I'm telling you what it says there, but I'll tell you what is true and what is not true afterwards. Okay. All right, so this is what Broid says. So Broid has a gavaldic raya. Broid brings a raya to his yisoid from David Keter, who says Rav Shach said the same thing. That's pretty good, raya. So what happened was, David Keter is Lohayev Lo Nivra. He was a person, I mean, the whole story was made, he made up the story. He made up the quote. He made up the whole Maisa Shehaya to bring a riot to himself. So...
how was he disproven?
I know, they tried, some people were suspicious, they tried to find this David Keter, and he didn't exist, or they traced him to a number, and it was one of Broid's own phone number, whatever it is, there was something there. So it was very, very embarrassing. But Aliba Diemis, I'll tell you the kernel of truth, because in every sheker there is a kernel of truth, and there are some kernels of truth. The kernel of truth was that we do know that there were frum communities with great manhigim, in which it was very common for women not to cover their hair. And the two communities were, number one, Germany, that the Kehilas of Shimshon Falhirsch, etc., Ruba de Ruba of the women did not cover their hair.
Even the
wives of some Talmidei Chachamim. Now the question becomes, was that because... Now the thing is, we really don't have psukim whether that was mutter. Was it the pshat that they were soimech on some cheshbon, like the Torah, for example, which would be a cheshbon? Or was it the pshat that it was a pirtza that they were not able to be misakein? So it happened. Rav Soloveitchik's wife, Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik's wife, from YU, did not cover her hair. Mm-hmm. Never, her entire life, she never covered her hair. And when the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik asked him, is it mutter for us that our wives not cover their hair? He said, absolutely not. Your wives are mechayev to cover hair. You're mechayev. Rav Soloveitchik B'davka said, don't follow my example. I'm in a situation. This is my situation. Whatever it is. So
what does that mean, though?
What it means is that I don't have control over everything my wife does. That's as simple as that. I mean, can you tell your wife to do anything you want her to do? You know, it doesn't work that way.
Certain things that are like personally, if my wife stopped covering her hair, would be horrified.
Okay, you know. Well, what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying.
The Talmud never started from day one.
No, it was from day one. Yeah, it wasn't the
Chaim. What happened then?
So it could be that maybe Rav Soloveitchik, in fact, followed a cheshbon similar to Rav Isher Zalman, if this was the right person. Otherwise, you know, I mean,
it's also hard to find a girl that did cover her. Yeah. At that point,
where he got married in Europe.
Got married in Europe. Now, the other community in which women didn't cover there was Lita. In fact, that statement that between certainly after World War I, people don't realize what a chorban in Ruchnius World War I was. Because unfortunately, the tzaras of the, like the Gemara says, the later tzaras made us forget the earlier tzaras, right? The later tzaras were so bad. But the truth is, World War I destroyed kehilas that had been around for 1,000 years. And there was a tremendous yerida, and so many, this was the culmination of the Haskalah, and there were so many Jews who became communists and socialists and Zionists. That's why Beis Yaakov was started around then, because there was mamash a wholesale, you know, women were leaving Yiddishkeit in droves from religious families. So the emes is, in Lita, rave of the religious women, so-called religious women, who got married between the wars, did not cover their hair.
Even Rabbanim.
And Rabbanim didn't even tell them to cover their hair because they knew, unless it was a person they knew would listen, because it was a getter of mutiv shiushaygin val yumezidin, and they wouldn't do it. And the minug in Lita was only to ask them to keep their hair bunned and the like. And this idea that Rav Shach Rebetzin may not have covered her hair in Lita might be true. There are those there are people besides this fictitious David Ketter who says it was true. Now it's a little bit of an open question. I can't say it is true, but there are other sources on that particular Nakuda. They do have a passport picture, but that's not a riot at all. The passport pictures, especially in Russia, they didn't really care. They just said, you know, take it off or you go to Siberia for 10 years. You know, that's so a passport picture is not a riot.
Why were even from women so adverse to it?
You have to understand that first of all, most firm women did not want to even marry B'nai Torah. They were influenced by the secularism of the culture. They wanted to get ahead. They wanted a more materially prosperous life. They wanted to be modern. They wanted to be elegant. So even if they were still going to keep Shabbos and Kashrus, they didn't want to wear whatever it was. In those days, they didn't have human hair shetels. So if you wore a shetel, it was usually not attractive. And or you had a babushka or something, something like that. So
shatter his credibility to pieces. Like anything he says now, I can take as false.
He
can fabricate such a story for a sock.
It's a serious issue. He's beginning to be rehabilitated a little. For a whole year, he didn't write anything. He would send out pieces to Yechidim and the like. He's very, very talented, and he's a good guy. I mean,
how can you trust someone to fabricate such a story to?
He's Atlanta. Michael Breud is his name. He's a professor of law at Emory. In fact, he got in trouble. This, by the way, is big trouble. I mean, he was investigated by the university. He could have lost his parnassa in a lot of ways. And the university didn't clear him. The university just said, "Well, it had nothing to do with us, so we're not going to, we're not going
to." Halevi too, a lot of times. Huh? My brother was at Halevi Torah. He said he used to come in and speak.
Yeah, yeah. So he's really he's modern, but he knows his stuff. Okay. Maybe I'm being myrish too much. But his yisaid though, is a yisaid that is arguable, although it's not makubal at all. And the yisaid is gebayt again on the tour, who for some reason, and it's shver, how can the tour be chaylik on the Gemara, where the tour says yaitze v'reisha parua is only das Yehudis, it is not das Moshe, and that's one yisaid. And the second yisaid, which is not Mukhrach, is once it's Das Yehudis, it's Shayach Lishtanais, that's not Makubal either, because some say that Das Yehudis is like the Takana of Rabbi Zeira. What does Rabbi Zeira say? Rabbi Zeira says, B'nais Yisrael Hichmiru al Atzman, that a Nida needs Zion Nekiyim. Now, that came from the women. So you might say, oh, so why don't you say if women started it, women can get rid of it? So we say no. Once the women were makabel, Chazal were kaveya that as a din d'rabbanan. So many say that even if you learn like the Torah, it's not mukhrich, things can change. Even in the Torah, once something became das Yehudis, it became, at least in the time of Chazal, the Cholopachas, they were kaveya that as a minimum level of
minimum. So whatever became das Yehudis at any point in time will always stay?
Not at any point of time. It could be that, you know, for example, if later Kehilos had Chumras, it could be that those Chumras could be Nispato. But L'chol HaPachais, what Chazal were Kaveya in the Mishnah and Gemara, in other words, what's in the, based on the idea that Mishnah and Gemara is Seif Hayra, yeah. So that kind of froze it, meaning you can go Viter, you can go, you could be Machmer on it, but you can't be Mekel on it. In other words, what was Das Yehudis in the time of Chazal, the Swara would be, becomes a minimal standard that you cannot deviate from. So
anything more than that you could.
Yes. So basically, Rabbi Droid's Hanukkah, each part of his Hanukkah is questionable. First of all, to be Seimich on the Tor is very schwer, because the Tor is Chaylik on the Gemara, meaning it's much more Mistavra, the Rambam's Shita, that Reisha Perua Lagamri is Das Maisha Pishtetich doesn't change. But then, Im Tim Salomar, even if you go with the Tor, that it's Das Yehudis, it is far from Borer, the Tor doesn't say it, that Das Yehudis can change, because we often say this became the minimal definition.
You can't be Samech on this to make a bracha.
Say again?
You can't be
Samech on
this to make a bracha.
That's correct, but I'll mention other sforas for it. Okay. Now, a few other points, and that is, the Gemara says that something is Das Moshe only if it is in the Shuk, Rishus HaRabim Mamish, the Shuk, the place where the general public goes. So there is a big, big Machloikes Rishainim. What about a Chatzir? Now a Chatzir is not a private place. A Chatzir is not the house. The Chatzir is you're still outside. But the Chatzir is not a place which that has unrestricted traffic. Now, Shitas HaTaisus in Ksuvas is that there is no chiyuv, not just for Drum Shavu Kedusha, there is no chiyuv of Kisei HaReish in a chotzer, and Kal B'chaymer in a bias. And that's Masha from Taisus, even if, now we're not knowing this way, even if some people walk by, in other words, even if, you know, I go through, you know, I come to visit you in your chotzer, whatever it is, even if some people go by, if it's not a makim that's miyuchet for the hiluch harabin, Taisus says, at least al das maisha, going with that shita, it is not called an averis al das, and there is no chiyuv, even though das Yehudis today might make it the proper minug of benos Yisrael.
That should depend on what. Time and place, no?
That would, according to Taisus, that would. According to Taisus, Chotzer is not even a Das Yehudis from the time of the Mishnah. There's Chotzer Medina de Gemara is Mutter, Legamri. Memela, even if, as the Achrayim say, that according to Taisus, in the course of time it became Das Yehudis, that theoretically might change. This is Shitas HaTaisus. The Bach, the Magen Avraham actually paskins like Taisus. The Magen Avraham, who's normally a machmer, actually says bechatzera and kal v'chaymer bebesa, even in front of people, there is no chiyuv al das meisha for kisei haresh. But the Bach says absolutely not. The Bach says Avada in a chatzer. See, if I would ask you an example, what would be an example of a chatzer, let's say? A chatzer, a business office would probably have a din of a chatzer, because what is a business office? You know, people come in from the outside, but it's not miyuchid for just general traffic. It would seem, although it's not borer to me exactly how you apply Taisus, because we're not naive like Taisus, that according to Taisus, if a woman, married woman, is a receptionist or a secretary, or she's a lawyer who works in an office in a law firm, according to Taisus, and she's in her office, even though people come in, it would have a din of a chatzer. According to Tosfos, again, this is so strange because obviously, from women are not like this way today. Medina de Gemara, the woman could have uncovered hair, and in her own home for sure, even if there are guests in Shabbos, because a bias is even less public than a chutzner. And that would be the sheet of the Magen Avraham. And even though we don't do it because it's become Das Yehudis.
Even in the house,
yeah. Now, the Bach, on the other hand, has Rias, not like Taisvis. And the Bach, Vadai, learns that Bechatzer, for sure, it is Usher, Medina. No. Al Das Maisha. It's an Isser Diyaraisa, not just Al Das Yehudis. And the Chassam Sofer understands the Bach, and he's so paskins, that it's not only b'chatzer, but it's even b'bayis mamish. Now again, let me explain what that means. The Chassam Sofer is not saying that a married woman in the home where all you have is her husband and children must cover her hair. That's vaday not the case. It is true that the Zohar says, al pi Kabbalah, that a woman should never have uncovered hair, and that's a midas chasidus. That's the case of the kimchis. But if there's nobody around except her husband and her children,
what about siblings, parents?
Even siblings and parents. Meikir adin, yeah.
Close family.
Meikir adin, it is mutter. But the Chassam Sofer says if people from the outside who are not immediate family are there, the Chassam Sofer says it is usher mi alstas maisha. Right, so we have three shitas here. According to Shitas HaTaisvus, in chotzer and bias, it is mutter legamri, except when it becomes das Yehudis. According to the Bach, in the chotzer, it is das maisha.
How does he get that?
How does Bach?
Yeah.
Well, it's totally I'm learning the word. If you go through the Gemara in Shuvah, you'll see that the Gemara itself could be interpreted that way. This is Ayin Gimel, I think. It's in Hamad there, it's the seventh paragraph. According to the Bach, in Chotzer, it's Das Maisha. He doesn't say Beferish bias. The Chassam Sofer says in the Bach, and also in himself, that even Bebesa, there is a Chiev de Araisa of Kisei HaRosh in front of people other than B'nai Beisa, and I'll pee the Zayar even in front of B'nai Beisa, but as I said, that's not a Chiyuv per se.
But the Gemara said Das Mesh is only when she's a Machti.
Huh? That's a Kasha on the Gemara itself. That's a good Kasha on the Gemara too, and that is what is the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara says if it's the Araisa, it should be Das Mesha. Why? Even if it's the Araisa, she's not Machtiim. Yeah, so you see apparently an interesting yisayt that a pirtza in tznius is machshil the husband, meaning to say, because it brings down the whole tsura of, it's a chiddush, but you see it's a very interesting musar, machshava, that her pirtza in tznius is all by definition going to affect the spiritual madrega of the home, and that's called a michshil. And the chlachara, otherwise you're right, you have a very good kasha. That making it a Doraisa is not going to turn it into Das Maisha, let it be like Chol Shabbos even. Okay. But you see the Chaymer Inyan here. Because even a Das Yehudis is more Chamor than a woman's Chol Shabbos. If a woman is Mechol Shabbos, that is not grounds for Yaitse Shalom B'Ksuba. If a woman violates Das Yehudis even, that is grounds for Yaitse Shalom B'Ksuba.
Breaking Shabbos would also pollute the atmosphere in the house.
It would. Obviously, it would to some effect, but not to the same degree as tznius. In other words, you see on this comparative measurement scale that theoretically, again, it's not an easy thing. I know people like this. I mean, when people become Balei Tshuva and they're already married, they don't always move at the same pace, and they may not move in the same direction. You can have a husband who wants to be totally from, and the wife doesn't, or vice versa. What does the Torah say?
Zohar.
No, the Zohar says that a woman should never. It's the same thing Gemara knew. She should never ever have her uncovered, even when she's by herself in the house. And that's the Gemara in Yuma as well, about a woman called the Kimchis, who she says, Lo ro kairas besi, the rafters of my house never saw my hair, and she was zaycha to many children, 8 children, who became Kohanim Gedolim.
How
do you understand?
So again,
the Rishonim say already being shalol tzarich when it was ef shabin yanacher. She meant when there was no reason, when I didn't need to uncover my hair, I never uncovered it. But that's a midas chasidus. That's a midas chasidus. And in fact, it would be wrong. It would be wrong for a husband to demand that his wife live that way if it makes her uncomfortable. You do have the right to demand that she follow halacha, although you won't always be able to get that, but you do have the right to say, we have to follow halacha. You don't have the right to demand that the wife follow the hanhaga of the kimchis. If she wants to, it's a gewaldige thing, and the Zohar says, many brachos come from it. But a husband cannot demand that his wife follow it. Certainly, he can't divorce her. But even without divorce, he cannot make such a demand.
The Zohar says even partially uncovered.
Even partially uncovered. Yeah. The Zohar is very, very machmer on the whole inyan, and it talks about many brachos. It even talks about einchim the other way. But the gabi the einchim, we don't paskin like those. And who knows? I'll pick a bala. But we paskin it's mutter. So what's mutter? It's not shach to say Hashem's going to punish you for doing something that Al Pidin is mutter.
I'm sorry, I missed this. Kalsa is going to be mutter in the chatzah, right? It's like kuli alma.
Kalsa is actually mutter b'chatzah. That's correct. So even like the So what is kalsa? So according to most rishonim, kalsa is not a partial hair covering. In other words, it's not that she covers part of her hair and not the other part. She covers her whole hair, but the hair is visible through holes. So it's not so common. Now, you know, if a woman wore a type of net on her hair, that would be kalsa. It's not that common that you see a covering that's technically kalsa. It would be like a fish netting type of, a netting thing in which you can see the hair and the like.
Have you ever
thought about shapels? Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about shapels. There's not a lot to talk about yet, but I'll talk about it, yeah.
So we pass it in the house, and it has to be covered.
Rav Meisha's tshuva is that Biikr, we pass in like the Magen Avraham. And Rav Meisha basically says that in the house, and even in a chatzer, chatzer he says better to be machmer, but in the bias at least, he says, the chasam sefer is pshat in the bach, is shver, and it's not mashma in the bach. Of course, Chassam Sefer can come to a psak on his own. Chassam Sefer doesn't have to, prove it from the bach. But he says the Chassam Sefer who says he's samech on the bach is shver, because the bach says chotzer. The bach doesn't say bias. And Rav Meisha says for sure, a woman does not have to cover her hair in the bias, and it's mashma that al stas Meisha b'chalapachas. Even if there are people in the house, a guest, she doesn't. But al stas Yehudis, she should not have her hair uncovered if there are other people in the house besides B'nai Beisa. But if there's no one else in the house but husband and B'nai Beisa, Rav Moshe says it is not even a das Yehudis. And therefore a woman l'chatchila, can have her hair uncovered, even though Rav Moshe mentions the Zayir. Rav Moshe says, no, the Zayir is a gewaldige thing, but it's not even a l'chatchila d'kechiyah, meaning it's a good thing to do, but we don't even call it a halachic chiyuv l'chatchila. And Rav Moshe makes the point, a man should not refuse to marry a woman who says, I'm not going to cover my hair when it's just you and the kids and my parents in the house. He says that's not a reason not to make a shidduch with such a person, because he says meikir adin, we are so meshed on the Magen Avraham who matters bias, and the bach is machmer only b'chatzer, which is a makam, which would include an office, for example, which is a makam that is omeh for people to show up. But again, I want to point out that Rav Moshe is not saying, if I have guests over to my Shabbos table, my wife doesn't have to cover her hair. But he does say that would only be Das Yehudis. It wouldn't be Das Moshe.
And then he doesn't hold a Rabbi Michael.
Again, I mean, Rabbi Breud's second point that Das Yehudis changes is actually not Mekubal either. So even if it's Das Yehudis, it kind of becomes that way. But the thing is that Rav Moshe then says furthermore that even when Ishtai Nida, even when a wife is a Nida, she is not Mechuyeves to cover. Now everything here is a Machlekes. I mean, many places are Mechuyeves. But Rav Moshe says if a woman when she is Tahora is allowed to have her hair uncovered in the presence of her husband, then there is going to be no Isser when she is Tameya. And the reason is because the din that says a man cannot be Mistakel and when his wife is Anida in Mekaymais HaMechusim means Mekaymais that are normally Mechusa when she is Tahora. But Mekaymais that are not Mechusa when she's Tahora do not become Isser when she is a Nida.
So make her then also a nursing mother. Doesn't he go that far?
Well, okay, that'll be another. That's the Gabi Dvorim Shabbatusha and the like. But he says if the derech is when she's Tahira, she's Megala. Okay. So Rav Moshe really, I want to point out, Rav Moshe has really four leniencies in the dinim of Kisui Hareish. Leniency number one is the one we just said, that if it's Besa, in the home, then bichlal, there is no Das Moshe at all, and it's only mitam Das Yehudis, and that is only if, you know, other people are in the house. It does not apply to husband, children, parents, or siblings, and therefore Rav Moshe says it's not even a Das Yehudis, and lechatchila she can have her hair uncovered, although Rav Moshe is maskim that there's a higher madrega of Yerushalayim. See, these are different levels. There's a lechatchila, and then there's a better than lechatchila, meaning even lechatchila, she's fine. So she can't be criticized. Husband cannot demand it. But Yerushalayim, you have the Chesam Sefer, you have the Zohar, etc. That is kula number one. Kula number two is Ishtai Nida, that since she's allowed to have her hair uncovered in front of her husband, then even by Ishto Nida, there is no Isser. And therefore, now this is not Dvarim Shebekdusha, I'll get to Dvarim Shebekdusha, but I'm just talking about Stamazai, Ishto Nida. Now, Kula number three is a big, big problem. And here there's a big machlokas what Rav Moshe meant. And that is Rav Moshe Tainis, that the Isser of Kisui HaReish, I'm sorry, the Isra of Gilui Reish, is only if, only when it's a tefach al tefach or more. He says Chazal are not machmir by hair more than they were machmir by sheikh. And therefore, Rav Moshe says the following, but I'll tell you, this is Machlek, how to learn him. He says that what is a tefach? A tefach is four fingers. So draw a square, four fingers by four fingers. So Rav Moshe then says like this. He says, the width of a forehead tends to be two fingers. Right? Two fingers across. So he wants to time it like this. He wants to time, two tefachim. Two tefachim, that's right. Yeah. A tefach is four fingers, right? So a forehead is two tefachim, right? In other words, a line from one temple to the other temple is a straight line of two tefachim, right? So Rav Moshe says, therefore, if you're allowed to have a tefach al tefach in area that would translate to two tefachim by half a tefach.
What? Again, if you have one tefach.
Okay. One tefach by tefach is a square tefach. An area of square tefach. Two tefachim by a half a tefach is also one square tefach. What is two times one half? You see? So therefore, Rav Moshe says, but I'll tell you, this is a machlokes, I've learned the tshuva, that a woman can have uncovered hair up to two fingers, which is half a tefach, two fingers across her entire forehead.
Which would equal to a square tefach?
That's a square tefach.
Two fingers
across the entire forehead. Right, the entire forehead is two tefachim, two fingers is half a tefach, so two tefachim by half a tefach is the same as one tefach by tefach. So the simple pshat of Rav Moshe's tshuva is...
I'm sorry, don't leave the house, remember?
No, Rav Moshe says even outside. In the house, even outside.
What's the susha between the forehead and the up here?
No, because Rav Moshe says a woman is allowed to have a tefach al... actually, pachas. A little less than a tefach al tefach.
And so where does that come from, that?
Because he says that's the shear of a shaykh. A shaykh is erva, you know, magabi, only if it's a tefach, etc. Although it's a lot, it's very shrimp, because that's referring only to the husband.
By shok, that, I mean, like where on the shok are you saying that you can have up to a... Or the bottom of the shok, you mean?
It's the knee, right?
Above the knee.
One tefach above the knee?
Yeah, up to one tefach above the knee.
The bottom of the
is
knee.
Not... It's not called an area. Again, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I mean, Rav Moshe's dimyon is very difficult, because the halacha that you can have less than a tefach above the knee exposed, or including the knee exposed, is only a din legabi devarim shepikedusha legabi the husband. The husband is allowed to be kari kriyashma keneged less than a tefach. Legabi other people, even pachas mi tefach is aser. So what is Rav Moshe using the shear of shaykh legabe other people walking in the street? It's a very, very shver tshuva, and I'll get to how some people learn the tshuva. But Rav Moshe seems to say that since hair is not bietzim and erva, so he has he goes through a cheshbon that we only use the maximum shear of what is called an erva. So according to the literal meaning of the tshuva, right, when women wear these tichels, whatever it is, and they're hitched up a little bit, and they show hair along the forehead, so Rav Moshe, at least in the modern Orthodox community, well, I mean, they're firm enough that they cover their hair, but they're samech on the idea that they can have a giloy reish of two fingers across the entire width of their forehead on the grounds that is a tefach al tefach. Now, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Moshe's own son, said that anyone that understands that this is a lechatchila dika heter for a woman to walk in the street that way is vaday a mistake. He said his father would never matter such a thing. His father was referring to the knas of a veres aldas, that she forfeits a ksuva. That Rav Moshe said that there is a svara that if it's a tefach less than a tefach al tefach, we will not concern her with the forfeiture of a kesuva, but that is not the same thing. In other words, there are really three things here. There's Dvarim Shebekedusha, there are the Chayva of Tznias, and then there's the Knas of Iveris Aldas. And just because somebody is not concerned as an Iveris Aldas does not mean that something is Mutter L'Chatzchila. And again, Kemat, all the poskim, either they're Chaylik on Rav Moshe on this Mekuda, or they interpret Rav Moshe like Rav David interpreted Rav Moshe, to say that he's only referring to Averis Aldas, he is not referring to Lechatchila. But still, Rav Moshe does say that even if a woman walks into the street with a tefach al tefach, which is, you know, two fingers, two tefachim by two fingers, Rav Moshe L'chol HaPachas says that is not a grounds for a get and being mafsid her a ksuvia. Yeah.
Two questions.
Yeah.
May seem a bit strange, but just interesting. First of all, let's say you have a relative who doesn't cover her hair, and she sort of says to you, "Oh, you know, do you like my hair?"
Do you like my hair?
Well, are you allowed to look at Tila comment on it?
It's a strange question.
Actually come up.
I think for Darchei Shalom you could say it's nice. You know, you're allowed to be polite in cases like that. But I mean, ask you that. What if a woman could ask you things that are even worse? You know, or what he's supposed to say. But I think for Darchei Shalom.
Let's say her daughter keeps Torah mitzvahs, and
yeah.
The mother asks the daughter, "Can you help dye my hair? Is that okay?"
The question is that she's misayaya, the mother, in not covering her hair, you mean? By dying.
Like some women, you know, they start going grey, so they start dyeing their hair.
Yeah, but what is the problem? That you're dyeing her hair, she's dyeing her hair, without her covering her hair afterwards?
Right.
Well, that's an interesting question. Could you make the argument that dyeing would be like a sheitel?
Wearing color could be a shirt?
Yeah, I mean, dyeing is batel. Dye is batel to the, even though, it's an interesting thing. The gabe mikvah, it might be a chatzitza, but still we would treat it. I would say this. I would say that given the fact that the mother is going to go out l'shuk without covering her anyway, so the woman is, her daughter is not goyren her to do an avera. So I wouldn't worry about it. Now, all right, so I mentioned three leniencies of Ramayshah, right? I mentioned the leniency of bias, the leniency of ishtainida, and the leniency of tefach al tefach, even though there's a machlagis, I've learned that leniency. The fourth leniency, the fourth cooler Ramayshah has, is almana or grusha. This is, again, unfortunately, more and more nogea l'maisa, bisman hazeh. What's the din if a woman is a single woman, but she was married? She was married, either she's widowed or she's divorced. So it's interesting that the halacha is very, very clear that at least if the marriage was consummated, at least if there was a bia, the halacha is she is mechuyev to have her hair covered. She has all of these halachas, but Rav Moshe learns as Machadesh that that is not Das Moshe, that the Das Moshe is only if a married woman, it is only a drabanan based on Das Yehudis. And because of this, he has a certain kula. And that's not Rabbi Breit's kula that Das Yehudis changes, it's a different kula. His kula is that since it is only a din drabanan, if it is necessary for parnasa or for shiduchim, let's say she feels, now it's normally an erroneous cheshbon, but if she feels she will not be able to have a man that would date her if her hair is covered, so Rav Moshe matirs shiduchim, dating with uncovered hair, but when she's not dating and she's back into the office, she has to cover her hair. So it's kind of crazy. Now, Rav Moshe certainly doesn't mean she's tricking the guy to think that she never was married. That would be Gneivas Das. Like, he doesn't mean, oh, I don't want to come married because I want him to think I was never married. You can't do that. So the truth of the matter is, it's hard for me to really understand how realistic the whole scenario is. Like, why wouldn't a guy, if a guy knows he's dating a divorced or married or a widowed woman, then, and he's willing to do that, why wouldn't he want to go out with somebody who covers her? Like, what's going to be the mania?
He's not going to be attracted to her. She doesn't
cover. No, there just won't be attracted.
She'd rather date someone.
Huh? Wearing a shaitel. Oh, yeah. I mean, so the emes is, and Rav Moshe says for parnasa too. It's hard to understand. But if for some reason she will not be able to keep a job or get a job if her hair is covered, so that's not a heter for a married woman. But Rav Moshe says it's a heter for almana ugrusha, based on the idea that it's not a doraisa, it's only a din drabanan based on Das Yehudis, and that could change if it's a shas hadchak. Yeah.
There's a lady in the community who converted.
Yeah.
And she never took on covering her hair, and she seemed to say that there was some heter or something.
She's married? She's married?
Yeah.
She's married.
Even when she got married, she...
Could you be Megayer? You know, that's probably very common.
That is a very good Shaila. The Pashas of the Gemara is, if a woman says to a Beis Din, I accept Gans Tayru Mitzvahs, but I'm not going to cover my hair, I'm married. L'chaira, the Gemara says, Nivamis, that even if she says I refuse to be mekabel one chumra of an iser drabbanan, we're not megayer her. So l'chayra, how is it charged to be megayer a person who says ahead of time, I'm not going to cover my hair? And yet, we find that Paiskim are very, very makel in this aspect of Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and that is that if a person is makabel the ikar yisaitis of kashrus and Shabbos and taras and mishpacha, even if in certain pratim of hilchos sinias they're not makabel, we will generally be megayer them. That's a good kasha. How could I be megayer? I mean, some of hilchos sinias are doraisis, and some of Hilchos Sinias is the Cholapachas Drabbanans. At best, it's going to be a Drabbanan. So how is it Shaykh to say? If somebody says, I'm not going to keep a Drabbanan, and this is the Raisa, the Meshuk at least, so what? Are they Seimech on the Torah? You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe Lagabi Geir is the Seimech on the Torah, but the rationale is not Boror. But I can tell you that the Minog is that most but they did are not very makpid on Hilchos Sinias as a tanai in the Geiris. Okay, now we'll continue this next week. Now again, I didn't talk about, as I mentioned, what, four kulas of Rav Meisha. There is a fifth, which is not Rav Meisha's kula per se, it goes back to the Aruch HaShulchan, which goes back to Amiras Devarim Shebekdusha. And this is a Meforsim Dekepsak of the Aruch HaShulchan that the Mishnah Berurah of Apashtas is chaylik with, and that is the Aruch HaShulchan says that Bizman Hazeh, now he's writing in the 19th century Lithuania, and I told you that was a kehila in which women stopped covering their hair. I definitely told you that. And the Aruch HaShulchan says Be'avanaseinu Harabim, that married women do not cover their hair. Uncovered hair is no longer sexually stimulating. In other words, this is the kenech. Remember that what makes hair erva is not chiyuv lachasaisai, it's darkan lachasaisai. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, if it becomes the derech not to be machase, even if that's an aveira, it's no longer a din erva, and one is permitted to read Kriya Shema and Davin Kineged, uncovered hair, not only of your wife, but even of any woman in the street. Now, I want to point out that some modern Orthodox say, "Oh, the Aruch HaShulchan," they think the Aruch HaShulchan is Michael Bright's point. They say, "Oh, the Aruch HaShulchan says times change; you don't have to cover your hair." Avada, that's a toast. The Aruch HaShulchan says beferish, avaynaseinu harabin. He is not saying Michael Bright's point. He is saying avada. It's either das maisha not to cover your hair, but lagabe erva is taloi on darkan lechaseisan, not chiyav lechaseisan, and mimela lagabe amiras devarim shebekdusha bisman hazeh is not going to shter. Now this is Aruch HaShulchan's leniency. Rav Meisha says miyikra din. We follow the Aruch HaShulchan. Other many paiskim in Eretz Yisrael b'dafka say no, but I want to point out an interesting little bit of trivia. You know, the Mishnah Berura and the Aruch HaShulchan were coming out the same time, like a volume of Mishnah Berura, a volume of Aruch HaShulchan. They were kind of a simultaneous publication. And the Aruch HaShulchan in Aruch Chaim actually sometimes, not that much, but sometimes quotes the Mishnah Berura. But the Mishnah Berura never mentions the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, we don't realize this because the Mishnah Berura is Mekubal as the Paisek Akron, but in his door, the Aruch HaShulchan was considered to be the Gadol Hador in Haira. He was tremendously great, authoritative Paisek. They say when he would come to Volozhin to visit his brother-in-law, the Nitziv, like the yeshiva was Nispoil, and the Aruch HaShulchan was like tremendous, tremendous thing. So why does the Chafetz Chaim not bring the Aruch HaShulchan? So the Velt gives this vort, and I think the word is not emes, but the Velt gives this vort, that they say the Chafetz Chaim, who fought to keep Mesira and Minhag Yisrael should not die, was so incensed, he had a hakpada, that the Aruch HaShulchan seems to have given people what could have been construed as an excuse not to cover hair, although that's not what he did, and therefore the Chafetz Chaim's macha against the Aruch HaShulchan was not to mention him at all.
doesn't mention anyone.
So the answer is that's not a taina. The Mishnah Berurah mentions nobody who lives in his door. He doesn't mention the Beis Halevi. He mentions the Or Samech once, and that was a restory for them. So he didn't mention anybody. So why should he mention Erech HaShulchan? But they want to answer. That's why he doesn't mention anybody. Meaning, if he would mention contemporaries and not mention the Aruch HaShulchan, that would be a bizayin. He doesn't want to be mavaza the Aruch HaShulchan, but he doesn't want to give him a chashivas of mentioning him, so he doesn't mention anybody. They want to fold that into the terrace. So we'll talk about that next week. But again, yeah, it's a Deborah Pashut, and you have to remember the Aruch HaShulchan is only talking about Devarim Shebekducha. He is absolutely not talking about the chiyuv of a woman to cover her. Okay.